scripture lesson today is from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
To me, and I hope to you, it's always a thrill to be a Christian and a believer on Easter Sunday. To me, the best religious holiday ever. It's better than going to Disneyland as a child or Disney World. It's better than being a child and waking up, it's Christmas morning, thinking about the presents. It's better than being Bubba Watson at a Masters and winning it. It's even better, now that's hard to believe, it's better than being a Steeler fan and being able to go to the Super Bowl and watch the Steelers win Super Bowl number 12. It's even better than being able to watch back-to-back episodes of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and Dancing with the Stars all in a row. And it's even better than being married to a Kardashian. Way, way better. New Testament scholars, C.H. Dodd, said that resurrection is the epicenter of our belief. In other words, the very, very center of it. It's not a belief that grew up within the church. The church grew up around the belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Graham declared that the resurrection is at the very heart of Christianity. If you want to destroy Christianity from within or from without, then all you have to do is destroy the resurrection. Why is Easter so big? I think we all kind of already know that. But what makes the resurrection of Jesus so very, very significant? Well, it announced the victory over sin and death. Someone who's been to the other side of death has returned and told us that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And this life is not the only life that we have. Eternal life goes on and on. Jesus rose from the grave and assured his followers that they would too. So I know, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I will not end up in some cemetery. As nice as cemeteries are, I love to walk through cemeteries. But I know that in the end, that my spirit will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be there with my friends. Will be there with my family. When Jesus rose from the dead, he flung open the gates of heaven. The resurrection is so important because it was God's confirmation of Jesus' saving activity upon the cross. Easter morning was God's stamp of approval on Jesus' sacrificial death upon the cross. And I know that when I reach the doors of eternity, all the sins that I have committed, I will arrive debt free. I like to think of it like a stamp and a seal. Stamped. Sins paid in full on the cross at Calvary. to be remembered no more, to be seen, to be thought of no more. The resurrection is so important that it gives us a preview of how world history is going to end. The winner between good and evil was revealed on Easter morning. You can read to the end and we know the story. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are on the side that wins. The scriptures tell us that at the very end of the age, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Luke says that Jesus died at about 3 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. He had to be buried quickly because the Jewish Sabbath began at sundown, so no burial of any kind was permitted on the Sabbath. Sabbath rules were very, very strict. In fact, the burial was so hurried that there was no time to anoint the body with spices, as was the custom. So the first opportunity to do that would be when the Sabbath was over on Sunday morning. So early on Sunday morning, women from Galilee who had supported Jesus in his ministry came to the tomb. And Mary Magdalene was the leader of this group of women. And it's interesting that to me, always has been, and I talk about this a lot, that God allowed Mary Magdalene to be the first person on earth to see the resurrected Christ and be able to share the message that he has risen. This is a powerful argument for the testimony of the gospel record. In the first century, a woman's testimony would usually be unacceptable. So the resurrection story had been a made-up story by the early church trying to pull the wool over disciples' eyes. They would never have placed a woman as the star witness. It just would not have happened. All four gospels agree on one vital, important fact of Easter morning. The tomb was empty. Jesus' dead body was literally, physically revived. Throughout all of history, every religious leader who has died, every political leader who has died, every person is still in their grave. But you go, if we knew the actual tomb of Jesus, I don't know that we know that, but if we could go back today and open that tomb, roll away that stone, we would see that there is no body there. He is gone, risen from the dead. And it's not because his body was stolen. It's because the gospel that he rose is truth. Our scriptural accounts of resurrection show us a four-step process of which the Easter good news continues to spread. First of all, you found out about Jesus because someone told you about Jesus. Someone shared the gospel, the good news of this story with you. And maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a junior church teacher or vacation Bible school. But somewhere along life's journey, you heard the message and hopefully you believed. And that becomes the question. Did you hear it? And do you believe, or have you rejected the message? Two angels told Mary Magdalene the good news. He is not here. He is risen. Then she in turn went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. Not that I don't know where his body is, that he's gone somewhere and must have stolen his body. I saw the Lord. It's not really important remembering where you first heard that Jesus rose from the dead or first heard any of the gospel. But your eternal life depends on you believing the story of the resurrection. Next step in spreading Easter good news is this. We inquire for ourselves. First someone tells us, now we start inquiring, we start studying, we start looking ourselves. When Simon Peter heard the news from Mary Magdalene, he decided to go check it out for himself. And he ran to the tomb along with John. And I know it's really hard for a modern person in year 2016 with our educations and we can Google anything, look it up, and our scientific facts. So how can we be so sure that it happened? Let me give you three of the best evidences for the resurrection faith. The disciples dying for their beliefs when a simple denial of the resurrection would have sufficed. And I know some people today would say, well, that's just religion. You get a bunch of fanatics. But it's different from someone like ISIS or ISIL, who are trying to kill people, trying to dominate, and a message of hate. The disciples had nothing but love in their heart to spread the message. Thousands of first century Christians suffered and died agony rather than deny the truth of the resurrection. Another proof of the resurrection is the change to Sabbath to Sunday. Jews worship on Saturday, still do. Christians worship on Sunday. I know we have Saturday night services and Sunday night and Wednesday night and all kind of different things. But still, the primary time for worship is still Sunday morning. For 1,500 years, the Jews had faithfully followed this Sabbath observance from sundown on Friday until Saturday. Yet in a matter of a few weeks, at least 10,000 Jews had begun celebrating the Sabbath on Sunday, the day of the resurrection, and that's why it changed. And the only reason, something mighty powerful and some mighty powerful belief system, not to develop over time, but it came about instantaneously. Another proof of the resurrection is the birth of the church. At the time of Jesus' crucifixion, the church consisted of a few hundred depressed, fearful, defeated people, hiding away, scared that their lives were going to be taken by the Romans, or even by the Jewish council. Scared. Yet within 5 weeks after the crucifixion, some 10,000 Christians were boldly taking the gospel message out into the world. Not just at home, but they were already starting to go out into the countryside and to go and to tell. After only 20 years, the Christian faith had reached Caesar's palace in Rome. And that's an amazing thing when you really look at history and think about it. And in just 200 years, the gospel had overtaken the entire Roman Empire. Now back to step three on spreading the good news today. Jesus finds us. I know in our minds we always think we're looking, we're seeking, there's a treasure out here and I'm going to find it. But in reality, theology teaches us that Jesus Christ found us. And what we do is accept Him finding us, come into agreement with us, and accept Him as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus touches our lives in some significant way, leaving His mark upon us. Then it's no longer ancient history. It's not something that happened 2,000 years ago. It is something that is happening today, right now, at this very moment in time. If the Christ Spirit is active and personal with us in 2016, then He must really be alive. Resurrection becomes real for the early disciples when they saw the risen Christ. At least one of the disciples, Thomas, had been extremely skeptical of this resurrection. Then Jesus met him face to face and He said, "Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus meets us always at the point of our need. Perhaps you became a believer during a worship service. Something happened. Something moved you. Maybe it was a song. Maybe it was a message. Maybe it was a prayer. Maybe it was just being in the presence of God. Perhaps it happened in a youth group meeting. Or maybe it happened when you were going through some terrible sickness. You have to have an operation, or you were diagnosed with cancer, or one of your loved ones were. And so you go to God saying, "Please God, help me. I want you to come into my life and take control." Or maybe it was when someone in your life passed from this life to the next. And you want to be there and you accept it because you knew that that person was a believer and you want to see them again in heaven. Maybe your mother, your father, a friend, a husband, a wife, a child, whoever it might be. The fourth and final step is spreading the good news of the resurrection. We tell others. The news of resurrection spreads by personal conversations. It spreads nowadays by Facebook and by text and still by telephone, but by Twitter and old school written hand notes or letter to someone. It spreads by sign language. It spreads by every conceivable means of communication to another person. And I think it's very important that Jesus' last command that he gave to his disciples, and therefore he gives to us today. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And the church, early church, did it very, very well. Acts 5:42 tells us that day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching, they never stopped proclaiming the message that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, that he has risen from the dead. The most important thing that you can say to another person is this: I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is alive because he has touched my life in a very special way. I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven, and I am striving to be a better human being because of my relationship with Jesus. And God can anoint that simple testimony with life-changing power. An elderly woman made a living selling artificial fruit. One day a customer complained that the fruit she sold was just not realistic enough. The customer pointed to an apple saying that it was too red. It was too round, too big to be a real apple. At that point, the artificial lady wasn't selling. She picked up that piece and she bit into it. A real apple. The resurrection of Jesus throughout the years has been critically examined. It has been judged by authorities, and the conclusion of many is the event simply did not happen, that it could not have happened. It may look like an apple, but in actuality, it is an artificial fruit. But if you pick it up and take a bite, you will come to know that Jesus really did rise from the grave. He is alive. He is listening to our prayers. He is preparing to come again. Easter dawns upon a world hidden in darkness 2,000 years ago and still today. But Easter should awaken every man, woman, and child with the news that the preacher of peace, the prince of power, and the Lord of love has risen from the dead and is ascended into heaven and is at the right hand with the Father in power and authority. Christianity, my friends, is real. It is real. Christianity is alive. And I believe that Christianity and being a Christian is anything but boring. So let us show our actions by our actions, and let us show by telling others with words that Jesus Christ is alive, that he has risen from the dead. And I say, hallelujah. And may the living God, the living Christ of Easter be with you, not just day, but every day throughout your personal life upon this earth and the life to come throughout all of eternity. May God bless you. Amen.